This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live. We are live here on Instagram and on Pet Life Radio. Here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time. Easy to get a hold of me. Just 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. That's toll free. Or you can just, if you're here on Pet Life Radio, just type away. And as far as Instagram, again, if you're already here, I'm waving to you as you come in. I'm going to wave hello. Of course, want your questions, anything you want to talk about. Now is the time to ask. So anyway, just first of all, I got to start with this. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. We have to start anyway. You know, I remember Mother's Day, mom stays in bed, kids get down, they make breakfast in bed. Oh my goodness, but we don't get that. I don't get that. Not only that, now I can't even sleep in because my kids are up now, they're out of the house. I got grandkids. They'll be over later for like a barbecue or something. But you think I could be sleeping on a Sunday morning, right? Because my dogs don't know the difference between Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you name it. To them, it's all the same day. And my lab, my big yellow lab, he's great, 12 years old. And this is so funny. He will wake me up almost every morning at the same time, usually around 5 a.m. And you think, you know, he's an older dog. He probably has to go out. And he's letting me know. He's so well house trained. He's going to let me know he's got to go. And I go, great, of course. So I let him outside. He doesn't even try to go out. All he wants to do, he sits down and lies down, and then he's waiting for one thing and one thing only. The big hint, he's a Labrador, and that is breakfast. He could care less about going to the bathroom. He just wants to eat, and he is impossible. And he starts literally between 5 and 5:15 every single morning. He's getting me up. So today was no different. So since I'm up, who do you think got to go to the market this morning at 7:30? To start getting all the things we need for the barbecue. Yeah, Dad, what's this Father's Day thing? So, you know, I've never made a big deal about Father's Day, even birthdays. I'm not a birthday guy. You know, here we are in an age we're all trying to stay younger, right? We're trying to look younger, we're act younger. So why we celebrate a day that's making us older? That doesn't make sense. So I let the birthdays fly. Who cares? Thank you about being the best vet ever. I'm not so sure, but at least maybe one of the good ones. How's that? Just leave it at that. One of the good ones. And let's see. So yeah, ask away. Can you talk about Parvo? Yes, let's talk about Parvo. And also licking the floors and walls. Oh, that's something interesting too. Okay. So this is Shannon Corsi. Can you talk about Parvo? Just watched a 2-pound chihuahua lose her battle to the virus after fighting for 4 days, blood transfusion, feeding tubes, et cetera. So sad. Yes, it is. You know, it's interesting how sad this is in the sense that a lot of these are our fault in that when we become complacent very easily. For years, we haven't really had that much parvo. Why? Because the last time we did it, which is probably 7-8 years ago, we saw a trend of a number of parvo cases. It's because we all got vaccinated and everybody told their pets, all the veterinarians said, no, parvo's still on the rise. You can't like slack on the vaccines. Now, they're better. They're usually good for 3 years now instead of 1 year. And I'm a big advocate of parvo vaccine. It usually is with the distemper virus vaccine. And also parainfluenza is in there and hepatitis, adenovirus type 1, type 2. So these are essential. So it usually happens more in smaller breeds. And young dogs, of course, puppies, the two adult dogs that would seem to have more prevalence of parvo than others would be the Rottweiler, and for some reason, the English Springer Spaniel. Those dogs, we would commonly see them as adult dogs getting parvo. Rottie's notorious. So when you see this, and your veterinarian tells you in the future that you should get parvo, even though we don't hear a lot about it, you know, this started back in the late 70s. And I remember it well because I was working as a tech and I started vet school. In fact, one of my dogs in vet school ended up having parvo. Fortunately, he was at the teaching hospital. So we were able to pull them through. We've pulled many a dog through, and sadly, many dogs haven't made it. And what's so interesting about this disease is that you can't predict success in treatment while you're going along with treatment. By that, I mean, we used to say it's like a 5-day battle, okay? And the dog can be doing better every single day. Once you start the fluids and the transfusions, whatever it is, the plasma, they start doing better, better every day. All of a sudden you come in on day five and they're gone. Conversely, we've had dogs that will go through days one, two, three, and four, really just not really getting better at all. Very worrisome, very weak. And all of a sudden you come in on day five and they're like back to normal. So there's no predicting. It's one of those weird diseases that you can't say, oh God, look at that. We're getting better. We're going to win. We're going to win. You may not. You got to wait it out. And now also there's some really bad viruses out there, parvoviruses. And some of these dogs are going 6, 7, 8 days before they pull through or before they lose the battle. So it's very, very sad. There's a classic example of prevention is the best treatment, meaning if you have dogs, make sure they're up to date on their parvo shots. Very important. And if they're young or if they're immunocompromised, be very careful about where you take them, letting them mingle with puppies, little puppies, going to a doggy daycare. Just be cautious because it is still a potentially, as you tell from this story, a potentially deadly virus. Now, Michelle, 8-year-old poodle having episodes of frantic licking the floors and walls. So first of all, nobody really knows the answer to this. A lot of hunches. And the reason why we don't know the answer is because those dogs ain't going to tell us. No matter how much we plead, what is going on with you? We're not going to know. So is it a mineral deficiency? Is it just something called pica? Is it anxiety? There are so many, different things. So the best thing we can do is, well, number one, try to make the surface that is being licked very unattractive. Bitter apple, chew guard, my stop bite. I mean, any formula that just really tastes terrible. And you want to start there. Then maybe check the food. Have you changed anything in the diet? Maybe they need a supplement. Maybe something's going on in the mouth. So they're getting some satiety, some joy, some relaxation from all that licking. As I said, there are so many different reasons. It's a difficult one because not every dog does it for the same reason. There's dogs that have pica. Pica is the eating of inanimate objects. Why they do it, who knows? So the best thing to do is try to make a checklist of all the possible. Is it anxiety? Is it a mineral deficiency? Is it a vitamin deficiency? And start supplementing, doing the best you can. And every time, try to take that same licking insanity behavior and transfer it to something that's more appropriate. So when you see it, get their attention real quickly, give them their favorite toy, right? Let them, just before you give them their toy, or just after they take the toy from you, ask them to sit, give them a treat, and then get the toy and give them their toy back. And just try to sort of a bait and switch. You want to get them to switch that same behavior over to something that's a lot more appropriate. If you saw your dog licking its toy, right, or its chew bone, you wouldn't be having this question. So maybe it's a need from within the dog at the same time. The truth is, we don't know, but I'd rather have my dog playing with its toy than chewing my walls or licking my walls. And I think most of you probably would agree that would be a good switch. So anyway, but we do see it. So it's not too weird. All right. Well, again, to those dads who've just joined, happy Father's Day. I hope you have a good one. Try not to do too much of the things you normally do. And one thing about Father's Day now, for those of you who may not remember, I know there are people on this that will remember, but what was probably the most classic Father's Day gift? And now you can see it in cards as well, because it was like the classic today. I don't think so. I'll give you a hint. I hardly ever wear one. And Mark knows what it is. No, what the classic, the tie. he's going like this. Yep. My dad never wore ties. And so why do you get a tie? You know why? Now I have those ties. Who wears ties anymore? I guess, you know what? Lawyers have to wear ties. In fact, I have a couple of neighbors, friends that are lawyers. When I see them in the morning getting in their cars with their suit and tie, I said, oh, you're in the court today. And he'll laugh. Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to work in jeans and a polo like I go to work every day. So you could tell. I mean, I guess there are doctors that my ex-boss and a good friend of mine who's recently retired, he used to wear a button-down shirt and a tie to work every day. And as a veterinarian, I just thought that was so impractical because here I am spending most of my time on the floor and I didn't want to have to worry about getting slobbered on or sneezed on or some, bodily fluid on my nice, clean Oxford button-down shirt and tie. It just didn't make sense to me. And I don't know, I'm as casual as can be because I know I'm going to go home dirty and my dog's going to smell me no matter what. So even if you keep your shirt clean, trust me, you're not going to fool a dog. So you're going to go home and they're going to be sniffing like crazy because of all this dog smells. And I don't know. I've always been more the casual, I'm going to chill on the floor, get licked in the face kind of guy. And but some people like, there's no doubt it looks more professional. I'll give you another negative about wearing a coat and tie or shirt and tie and a white, clean white smock when you're a veterinarian is because when I walk into a room, I'm there and mom is there and their pet is there, obviously, but also for convenience, they brought their little kid. And I walk into a room and the dog is running up to me and giving me hugs and the kid starts to cry. And now I know when I can say the difference between veterinarians and pediatricians, my patients love me. Pediatricians, I mean, babies and kids, little kids don't usually love their pediatrician. So I'm better off being a vet. Okay, let's see, more questions came. If not, we will talk about things. Thank you. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Boiled chicken and sweet potatoes sometimes mixed with green beans, carrots, and rice. A balanced enough diet. She was eating. Ollie had about a bloody diarrhea, so I started the bland diet. Okay, so here's the thing. Firstly, I'm not a boarded nutritionist. It sounds great. It sounds well-rounded, probably okay. So I have two solutions to know, get a definitive answer. Number one, a number of veterinary schools now, through their nutrition science department, will offer for a fee a sit-down virtually where you can discuss the diet, the amounts you're giving of each thing, the vitamin and mineral nutrient profile, and tell you what this is. Sounds good. Maybe it's not completely balanced enough. Maybe you should add a little of this, that, or the other, et cetera. And totally fine. Maybe if it's even that's even the better way to go. But my way, a lot easier, way less expensive. And so far in animals that I've done it for is just fine. And that is, as they always say, people say, well, what's the best diet? There is no best diet. And you've heard me say this a zillion times. And that is the most important thing of any diet that you're going to concoct or you're going to buy. It's not the nutrient panel. That comes secondary. It's the taste. If your dog is not going to eat it, I don't care how good it is, how fantastic the ingredients are, how well balanced it is. If they're not eating it because they don't like it, it's toast. Forget about it. So if you can put together a diet that they like and it's balanced and they have the nutrition and they have a nice shiny coat and they have a nice normal stool, there's a very important, a good solid stool and lots of energy, then go for it. That sounds great. What I would recommend to any home cooked diet, which is why I created one, it's a multi vitamin mineral supplement. Mine is called Body Boost. It doesn't have to be mine. And there are so many out there. But I really thought it was so important that in my line, Performance by Dr. Jeff, I wanted to have, you know, I have a glucosamine chondroitin supplement. I have the chill. I have the natural calming formula. But I also wanted to include just a regular Body Boost, just a formula that if you are feeding home cooked meals, which is fine, and the pet likes it, and in this case has really good stool, then I just want to make sure that it's they're getting all the vitamins and minerals they need, and therefore we create Boost. So that would be my only caveat, my only recommendation is if you're going to do home cooked, either check with a nutrition department or go ahead and add your own multivitamin mineral supplement and maybe some omega-3 or just to, you know, make it well-rounded and balanced. How often do I give my cat bone broth? I give it once a week. That's totally fine. You can probably do it more often than that. Again, if they like it, when you have things that have had a little, sort of a rich content, you just don't want to give it too much that they get soft stool. But if they're tolerating it well and they like it, or if you can add it to a regular food that makes their food taste better for them, by all means, go for it. I have a Labrador, the same thing. There are going to be dogs out there that will eat anything you stick in front of them. I joke that a husky, for example, will eat cardboard faster than its meal. So there are certain breeds that have this tendency. Labrador retrievers, as we know, I often joke, a Labrador will still eat on its deathbed. Their appetite is insatiable and they just, you know, they love it. Well, if you have one such dog, then that's great. So anyway, it is time for our quick mid-show break here on Pet Life Radio. So if you here on Instagram, I'll stay. I'll just move myself from the commercial break. We'll be back here in a few minutes. Bye. Don't go away.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back live here on Pet Life Radio. Just as we're coming out of the break, I was talking to my Instagram Live audience, and we're talking about something that actually pains me to talk about it. It pains me to even have to say it. But I'm going to do it anyway because I feel I have a responsibility. And if I can educate pet parents anywhere, that's why I'm here. So this warning, buyer beware. And what I'm hearing stories of ad nauseum. And that's why I'm talking something about it, because it's not one case here or there. I'm hearing it so often. And that is, there are, I'm not going to mention any names of facilities, but let's face it, veterinary medicine is turning into corporate. As many of you know, probably 50% of the hospitals across the country are no longer privately owned. They're owned by big companies. And if one were to ask a simple question that you probably have the answer to already, what is the number one motivation of a corporation, a corporate-owned hospital? Is it the care? Is it the caring? The passion? Or the bottom line? And if you are thinking anything but bottom line, I will tell you right now, you are wrong. It is the bottom line. So I hear stories all the time of what we call upsells, because especially at the emergency level, you have no idea about, if you looked into your pet's mouth, you really won't know what to look for. You may look at some tartar and plaque on the teeth. Okay, but that's about it. So if there's anything going on deeper, whether it is or it isn't, but you are told it is, and you are basically guilted into doing some extra testing, extra procedures, if it doesn't feel right, then just don't go for it. Get a second opinion. Especially on the emergency level, there are so many tests that are being run that I get the invoice. They always send me the invoice, my clients, and I go, why'd they do that? Or the dog's only 3 years old. There's no way. It's a disease. Rule out. It's like, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. So what are you looking for anything other for? Or the one I like the most, I've said it many a time, and you got to take this from someone coming in California. If you're running along the beach in Malibu and you hear hoofbeats chasing you from behind, what are you thinking? Horses or zebras? If you're thinking about anything about a horse, then you should go to those places. No, I mean, so why are you looking for the zebra? You didn't even rule out your horses yet. Rule out the obvious simple things first. And then if that doesn't pan out, you can always go back and do the next. You don't have to do 10 tests at once in one day. You just don't have to. Now, again, emergency medicine is sometimes different and may not have tincture of time, in which case, but the old emergency facility, let me tell you what it was like back in the day. Back in the day, emergency facilities were usually owned by two or three small animal practices. They would got together, they would rent a space, hire a veterinarian, or they would all take turns, whatever, five, six veterinarians would take turns by the night, by the week, whatever, and cover a shift. Their goal was one thing and one thing only, triage. I'm going to get you through the night so you can go back to your vet in the morning and it could be worked up. Whether it's just fluids at night, anti-emetics, they weren't doing diagnostics, they weren't taking x-rays. They were just, right now, let me get you through the evening so we can make sure that you could see your vet in the morning. Now it's a total different bag. Now it is, they literally take over your case without you, without the veterinarian being consulted, and with you not really knowing much. How do you make a decision when they tell you, oh my God, we have to do this test because, oh, well, with this, the coughing like this, it could be horrendous. Yeah, maybe an x-ray would be in order. I'm not saying it's not, but to do all these blood tests and stuff because, well, we may have to give it this medication. And in order to know the medication, we have to do this first. We just did a full exam a week ago and the bloods were perfect. The doctor even said the bloods were fine. Well, you know, but that was a week ago. I mean, it really is, for lack of a better term, I find it disgusting. And it's happening to you people all the time. So don't be afraid to get a second opinion. You can call me off air. I will give you my recommendations for places that I think are a little bit more ethical. I will also give you my recommendations of who to avoid, because I find them time after time after time unbelievably unethical. And it is something that I just, I feel I need to share. I want to share. If you don't want to take my advice, that's okay. But just know that, you know, proceed with caution is my basic recommendation. All right. Let me see what else we got here. And if I'm being too harsh for some of you, I'm sorry, but all right. Cloud Chaser, my daughter's cat had lymph nodes removed, was diagnosed with rare Hodgkin's lymphoma. Very few studies done, which is true. She has conferred with 3 oncologists, blood work okay, oral chemo failed. So that's an interesting case because, again, the way I treat this, oral chemo would be from many factors. How old is the cat? That makes a big difference. I find that the chemo protocols like the COP or COAP, COAP, COP, Cytoxan, Oncovin, Pred, seem to work well. Lomustine injectable seems to work well. So there are some rather mild treatments that seem to work okay. Pred often does help shrink the nodes. That can help. Why they remove the nodes, I don't know. Once it hits the lymph node system, it's going to be in all the nodes. You're not going to remove all the nodes. The only time I will cut into a node is to help get a diagnosis. But once I have a diagnosis, I'll let the chemo, either whether it's oral if it works or injectable, and of course, doing blood work to make sure that everything else is okay. So I definitely see what the oncologists say. If there are some other treatments that could be employed, I know the injectable ones for lymphoma seem to work rather well. So I think it's worth conferring with them. You can also reach me off air, let me know who the oncologists were. I might be able to recommend another one or maybe set up something remotely with one of my favorite oncologists who no longer lives in the US, but he is accessible certainly to me and I can discuss some things and go from there. But don't give up, especially if the cat is otherwise okay. I'm surprised that when you say oral chemo failed, did the other nodes shrink down at all? If they did not, I'd like to know what drug, what oral chemo was being used, because there are some other options that I'm sure that are available that are not super aggressive. And one thing about treating animals with chemo is we don't use such high doses that really knocks them on their behinds. The goal is, because we know they don't live a tremendously longer after that, unless it was a very young cat. That's why it would be good to know at the age, because if it's a young cat and you really want to obliterate it, it might be worth doing some injectable chemo and seeing how they do. Because one thing about like in people, you know, some of these lymphomas can actually be treated. Unfortunately, some of them cannot. So cat's age condition means a lot to me. On Prednow only, oncologists do not know how to treat the cancer. Could use your input, please. So I will, yeah, get a hold of me afterwards. Do they even talk to you about some of the other normal protocols? One is called COAP, Cytoxan, Cytisin, Arabinoside, that's the A, Vincristine, which is Oncovin, and Pred. There's also Lomustine, which seems to work well. There is COP, which is the one that I use. There's also the Wisconsin protocol. So there are many protocols out there. They are more aggressive. They are more aggressive. So I'm very curious. And again, this, if it's like more of a Hodgkin's versus a non-Hodgkin's, then it might be something that is a little more challenging. But I would imagine there is a more aggressive approach that should help a little bit more than just the Pred. And he said Pred only. Was there another oral product other than the Pred initially? So do you find a lot of older dogs have UTI? Actually, yes, I do. I'll tell you what you do. I'm not trying to sell, you know, anything with AirVet, but sign up on AirVet. Sign up, put in, you need to talk to a vet now, and you'll be talking to a vet live, real time. I think it's $70 or $75 for the consult, and they can help tell you, you know, where you need to go with this, what needs to be done now, help guide you through all the nonsense that otherwise you have no clue. You sort of like, we're trying to be in your back pocket, just to pick our brain based on what they tell you. And I mean, look, for my own clients, I've gotten on the phone with the emergency doc and basically told them exactly what I want and not want done. And I don't care what you want to do. I'm the doctor. This is my patient. This is what I want you to do tonight. You know, the whole idea is you can't get a hold of your vet at 2 a.m. So it's something that AirVet would be a great alternative, where at least you can get a veterinarian who works with you, for you, and not for the big tech company or whatever, or the private equity firm that owns that particular hospital. So anyway, keep that in mind. Oh, no, it's called AirVet. AirVet is my telemedicine platform. You can just look it up, download it on the App Store or in Google Play. Again, it's called AirVet, A-I-R-V-E-T. Sign up as a pet parent, which is the blue one. There's a blue and green. Do the blue one for pet parents. Go follow the prompts. If you have any trouble, just reach me here on Instagram and I'll help you through it. But that's your best bet, because you will have access to often. Okay, wait, there was one question I missed. That's it. Do a lot of older dogs having UTI? I mean, first of all, any dog can have UTI. I got to remember one thing about dogs with UTIs, and that is oftentimes the infection is called an ascending urinary tract infection. What does that mean? That means it's starting from the outside, either when you look at a female, the distance between the anus and the vaginal canal is literally not even an inch sometimes. All right. So what's happening is with a cat, it's less than an inch. With a dog, it could be several inches, but obviously it's not a very clean area. With a dog, the prepuce, again, what are dogs doing all the time? I mean, the joke is they lick, you know what, because they can, right? So they're cleaning themselves all the time with a mouth that has licked a million other things first. So a lot of these bacteria are being introduced to the bladder from the outside. So the older the dog, the more incontinent a dog, the wetter that area is, the dirtier that area gets. Of course, that increases the risks of a UTI, an ascending urinary tract infection. So the answer to your question is yes, a lot of older dogs get UTI, and it's just the nature of them being older, and they are not as clean. And it's our mistake too. I mean, you know, if you have one such dog, you just add another job to your job as a pet parent, and that is cleaning the area after, you know, running outside, after defecation, after urination, after going to the park. Just clean, you know, the vaginal area, clean the prepuce, and you might be able to cut down on some of these incidents of urinary tract infections. But look, usually they aren't super, super serious. They are treatable. But this explains why. And I'm, you know, I'll give you a little, because you know, when you hear about it, I always tell them, well, how are you going to get a urine? I said, if I tell you, I'm going to have to kill you. You're not going to want to know. And they go, no, how? I said, we actually do it. We take a needle. We take an ultrasound probe, identify the bladder. We clean the little skin a little bit with alcohol. And we go with that needle straight through the skin directly into the bladder. And they go, well, I can't just give them a cup and ask them to pee in the cup. That's not going to work. And because of the external part of the genitalia is often so dirty, even if they pee into a cup and I find bacteria, am I going to know for sure whether that bacteria came from the bladder or just from the urethra or just from the vaginal canal or just from the prepuce? We don't know. But when you get your urine directly from the bladder, then you know. If it's sterile, it's good. If there's bacteria or a lot of white cells, it's probably not good. Probably an infection or some sort of inflammation. So that's why we do what's called cystocentesis. It sounds gross. It sounds scary, but it's not. And the dog, to them, it's like getting a shot. So anyway, that's how we collect urine. Now, for some tests where we're not worried about infection, we're worried about specific gravity, or something called the cadet BRAF test, where we're not looking for bacteria, then yes, I'll send someone home with a little cup and they tell them to let the dog pee in a cup, et cetera. And we can measure other things that will be unaffected by the bacteria, then that's okay. But when we're trying to rule in or rule out a UTI, we want to get a pure urine sample. Okay, with that fun fact, I'm leaving you. All right, once again, thanks for joining me here on both my Instagram Live on Pet Life Radio and a higher radio station, by the way, and love Pet Life Radio. My shows are all available, by the way. If there's an old show you want to catch, they're all being on. If you go down, go to Pet Life Radio, you click on my shows, Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, you can find, I don't know, Mark, how many shows do I have in the can? About 500? Yeah, a lot. So if you want to get sick of me and you can't fall asleep one night, go on to Pet Life Radio, go on to my shows, start listening to a few of my shows. I'll put you to sleep in no time, I promise. So anyway, thanks for joining me. Again, happy Father's Day to all you dads and granddads out there. Have a wonderful day. We will be here next week, same bad time, same bad channel. For those of you who had, I told you to reach out to me for personal private questions, please do so. You know how to find me. And if you have any trouble signing up on AirVet, I will help you with that as well. So have a good week. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.